This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening to you for Wednesday, July 3rd, 2013. My name is Dr. Doug Kelly, here, of course, with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, Doug. Good evening. It's we're well into July already, and it's a big celebration down in the U.S.
Yep,
coming up.
July 4th tomorrow, of course. And it just amazes me how quickly this year went.
No kidding.
Beginning of the second half now.
Yep.
So anyways, good to have everybody with us tonight. Glad you took the time, whether you're listening live or listening to the archive. We appreciate your time with us tonight. We're going to be talking about perfection tonight in just a little bit. We'll get through our preamble information. Metaphysical Universe is a weekly service and educational program of the Metaphysical Church of Humanistic Science. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this weekly radio program, we operate the Institute of Metaphysical Humanistic Science, or Metaphysics Institute for short. You can earn your bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees in metaphysics. We also operate NewAgeClass.com for standalone certificate and certification courses. Both these sites have more information, metaphysicsinstitute.org and NewAgeClass.com. The spiritual philosophy of MCHS Church is based upon 9 principles of belief. These principles of belief are, number 1, as sentient and evolving human beings, we not only believe in practicing and living by the principle do no harm, but also in the principle of do right, thus enhancing the vibrational level of humanity. Number 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit to ultimately triumph in the face of any dilemma. The answers we seek already exist within us. Number 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems, and believe the roots of those solutions lie in exploring, understanding, and empowering the human condition. Number 4, we embrace the differences that make all human beings unique, recognizing that we all come from star material and are therefore equal irrespective of heritage, beliefs, gender, or gender preference. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. Number 5, rather than a supreme being, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. Number 6, we believe the nature of a human being encompasses both a physical and spiritual aspect, and that human consciousness survives the death of the physical body in a coherent fashion. Thus, death opens a new chapter of life and conducts the individual into a higher state of existence. Number 7, we believe in self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will, and that these 3 synergistically create the goal of self-completeness. Number 8, we believe in the value of practical education in metaphysics, metapsychology, and life skills as a means of empowering the human spirit and enhancing the human condition. We maintain an open but grounded mind to potential realities as yet undescribed by science. Number 9, we believe that discovering the true nature of consciousness and human existentialism will ultimately have a positive impact on human evolution and peaceful coexistence. For more information on these principles of belief as well as MCHS Church, please visit us at mchschurch.org. Now, as I mentioned a moment ago, we're going to be talking about the topic or concept of perfection. And, of course, the description, are you perfect? Well, you're going to find out tonight if you don't already know. And we'll have a 5-minute meditation toward the end. We'll also talk a little bit about a couple of things we've got in the works, newsletter as well as our first annual conference. Have a few details that we'll share toward the end of this broadcast tonight. So, without any further ado,
I love when you say that. Without any further ado, I want to put a British spin on it.
Well, go ahead.
When you say that, I want to put a spin on it, like some Shakespearean spin, you know?
I know. And if I was better at that, I probably would. But as it turns out, I'm not. So I'll just say it in Doug voice.
Doug voice is good. It's good.
Anyways, let's talk about perfection here. This is a hugely, hugely important point, and I'm going to kind of start us off, and I'm going to talk about this concept and give you some background. I know I've talked about this in episodes past, but it's one of those things that we need to be reminded of. Way back in, 1999, I was going through, I was going through a breakup of my marriage, 18-year-old long marriage. My wife at the time was an alcoholic and completely destroying our family life. And, you know, and I was very committed, or should have been, minister, you know, with Jehovah's Witnesses, elder. And I didn't want my family to break up. I was trying to figure out how to help my wife, trying to figure out how to make it all better, how to fix it, etc. Well, that was the beginning of a lot of life lessons for me. And one of them, I remember this quite well. I didn't know what to do. I had it was January, February of 1999. I just separated, took my son, who was about 12 at the time. Heck, he'll be 27 this month. And anyway, so I was separated. I went out to it was like 1 o'clock in the morning. I went out to the beach or to the wharf here. Nobody was there. And I just went out there just to ponder, reflect, meditate, pray. And I remember doing this several nights in a row, all in the middle of the night. I remember it was right around the full moon. The moon just, sky clear. It was just a beautiful night, you know, and the moon glistening on the water, and it was a beautiful night, you know, and I prayed my heart out, you know, for help. How do I do this? How do I fix this? How do I get things going? And every night it was the same thing. I was getting nothing. You know, it was just empty. And the last night that I did this, I'm talking out loud, praying out loud, and trying to figure things out. And I was talking to God and just said, you know, I know you want me to be perfect. I'm trying to be perfect. You know, I'm trying to do everything right. I'm trying to do the right thing. I don't always do the right thing. I make mistakes, but, you know, I'm trying to do the right thing, trying to be perfect. And then I just said, you know what? This is ridiculous. Enough. I said, here's the deal, God. You want me to be perfect? Not a problem. Make me perfect. Until then, stop bitching. And, of course, you know, it was only the religious bitching. You know, it was all what the religion believed about that. But the point was, as I came to an epiphany. You know what? I'm perfect just the way I am. You know what? You can't expect me to do what I am not capable of doing. You can't expect a dog. Well, let me ask you this, the audience, this question. Okay, you know why dogs bark? Because that's what they do. You know why cats meow? Because that's what they do. So you can't expect a dog to meow, and you can't expect a cat to bark, right? It's not within their genetic makeup. It's not who they are. Well, the same thing is true with human beings. And so I began to ponder and develop this whole thing about perfection, and it began to dawn on me that this fantasy of perfection was nothing but an ancient disabling belief system designed to control and manipulate through guilt and shame. Why? Because, hey, you know, there's always some reason to not feel good about yourself. Nobody's perfect, right? There's all that crap that we're raised with. You know, we are, and here's the dichotomy, we are often, usually, conditioned, programmed, raised to strive for what? For perfection. But on the other hand, we know that there's something we can never attain as human beings. What is it? Perfection. How much sense does that make? It makes no sense. It makes no logical sense. We are setting ourselves up to fail. It's just stupid. It makes no sense. So one of the things I used to do a lot in my seminars, and still do when I do speaking and teaching, is I ask the group, who here is perfect? Raise your hand. Most of the time, nobody will raise their hands. Every now and then I get somebody who's ahead of me and they raise their hand. But most of the time, they don't raise their hand. So I ask them, well, okay, you're not perfect. Why? And what do I get? Dead silence. It's so funny. People are so ready to tell you they're not perfect. But when you ask them, okay, fine, you're not perfect. Why aren't you perfect? They can hardly ever answer me. And they fuddle around and, you know, well, nobody's perfect. Well, I disagree. I'm perfect. How come you're not? And I shut up and I look at them. And then somebody else will finally say, well, because we make mistakes. And that's when, oh, okay, interesting thing about mistakes, isn't it? You know, that the only way human beings learn is how? By making mistakes. It is an inherent part of our nature. You cannot separate mistakes from the human being. Even if you take a, quote, perfect human being, you can't remove the mistakes. For example, let's take the example of the alleged Jesus as a boy. You know, his father trained him as a carpenter, right? Are we to assume for a moment that the very first cabinet he made was perfect? I don't think so. That's not how human beings learn. He had no knowledge of doing it. Mistakes were an obvious thing. You can't just start doing something. So does that mean that he can, you know, build a perfect warp engine too? You know, it takes time. It takes mistakes. It takes prototypes. It takes learning. So mistakes are an inherent part of our nature. You can't separate mistakes from the human being. It's just not possible. And mistakes, since mistakes are an important part of who we are, we need to embrace that part of us. But so many of us rip ourselves up. You know, we bash ourselves because we made a mistake. It's like beating the dog because he barks and doesn't meow, right? So we have to really change our whole attitude toward this mistake thing. You know, mistakes are not an opportunity to feel guilt and shame. And as you know, guilt is when you feel bad about something you did. Shame is when you feel bad about yourself. And I'm going to tell you something right here and right now, so I don't want you to ever forget this. There is no value in guilt. It is a pointless, worthless human emotion, because so many people get wrapped up in this guilt because they blew it somewhere. They made this mistake. So unless you're guilty of crimes against humanity, let it go. Release it. And I'm pretty sure you're probably not guilty of crimes against humanity. So you made a mistake. Welcome to the human race. You want to know another interesting thing about perfect people? Let me ask you this question, just to the audience. Is there anyone on this planet more perfect at being you than you? The answer, of course, is no. So you are perfectly yourself. So when I ask the audience again, okay, so here, who here is perfect? They'll say, well, I'm perfect at being me. You see, that's a conditional statement. Every now and then I get somebody who's really on track, they know what I'm talking about, and I ask them, are you perfect? And they say, hell yes, what's wrong with you? Duh, of course I am. And that's the attitude I'm looking for. Am I talking about narcissism? No. I'm talking about a healthy self-concept. I'm talking about getting rid of all that crap that we were force-fed back in the day, and we still hang on to. And even to this day, even after I explain all this about perfect people, and I'll just tell you what constitutes a perfect person, somebody who is perfect at being themselves, somebody who is striving to be better tomorrow than they were yesterday, somebody who is a perfect work in progress. Do perfect people make mistakes? Yes, they do, because that's who human beings are. But they learn from those mistakes and they move on guilt-free. They make amends if necessary, but they move on guilt-free. So, even with all this explanation, there are some people in which the denial runs deep. They have been taught all their life that they're not that good. I'm not that educated. I'm not that smart. I just don't know. And now is the time to stop it. Honestly, if you're thinking these things, stop it. Don't think those things. We're not talking about the fantasy of perfection. We're talking about a healthy self-concept. So if you ever ask me if I'm perfect, the answer is hell yes. What is wrong with you? Of course I am, and so are you. Do I make mistakes? Of course I do. Do I strive to learn from those? Of course I do. And that, folks, is perfection. Now, let's delve into this a little bit more, Dr. Hunter. You have some points that you would like to bring out.
Well, you know, I think it's perfectly understandable, just for my part to begin with, that everybody is looking for some kind of acceptance from others. And it's kind of like, if I'm not perfect, then you'll accept me better. And then we go into what Doug has often talked about is them esteem. And I think that that's really relevant, Doug, in people's mm-hmm. attitudes.
It is. And for those of you who are not familiar with them esteem, let's talk about the difference between self-esteem and them esteem. Self-esteem is simply internal expectations and validation. And them esteem is external. Did I say external the first time or internal? Them esteem is external expectations and validation. If I define my own expectations internally and I validate myself, in other words, I feel good about me because I am who I am. That's internal expectations and validation. That's self-esteem. Them esteem means I only feel good about myself when I'm doing what my parents, my religion, my God, my boss, my friends think I should be doing. And when they're patting me on the back, oh, you're doing a fine job, then I feel good about me. That's them esteem because I esteem them more than I do myself. And so that's the difference.
Yeah, it's a big one. You know how I have many different, verbalizations of how to see perfection that kind of help people put on a light bulb. But, if we just take this to basic science, Doug, Earth has its own perfection. There are natural laws, and we all have to live by those natural laws. You put your hand on a hot stove, and you're going to burn yourself. And you learn that that's a natural law. But if we can also take that a step further, that everything on the Earth is created perfectly for the Earth's design, then we can also take that step further to say, I am created perfectly for my design in this lifetime. Like, it is perfect that I'm dyslexic. It is. But we're often raised to believe that we can't live up to some other idealism or the kid next door or, the teacher's expectation of an A mark. But what I had to do, even for myself, in the progress of maturing and growing up and really asking who I am, the dyslexia is perfect for me. I have brown eyes. I all these things is in my perfect design. And if I take it again a step further, everything that I'm living in this moment is a result of everything that's been done up to now. So that the now is a perfect reflection of life in its natural cause and effect. Now, you and I have talked about cause and effect, relentlessly over these years. And it's we do something that it's going to have a natural reaction. And that is a perfect reaction for that action. It's just we're not always conscious of how the two connect because our mind is somewhere else. So if our mind is outside a natural law, then we're looking to make it up. And that's when we have this really kind of dumb idea of what perfection is. And it's always far away over there outside of ourselves. Mm-hmm. It's very interesting the tricks the mind will play.
Well, let's talk about some other aspects that you and I had talked about earlier, and that's secondary gains. I want to just address this to the audience, whoever's listening, either live or archived, doesn't matter. If you're still having a hard time buying into the concept that you're perfect, then my question to you is, what do you gain by not believing you're perfect? What do you gain by continuing on with the old status quo that nobody's perfect? What do you gain from that? And I'll bet you if you think hard enough, and if you're honest enough, you're going to find out some secondary gains. In other words, things that you gain by holding on to that disabling belief. Remember, when somebody tells you you're not perfect, it's a criticism. And who's telling you that? It's the religions, mostly. They're telling you that you're a sinner, that you need to be redeemed, that you're a fallen man before God. They're telling you that you're just no damn good. And then they turn around and try to build you up. But if you do this and you do that and you do the other thing, then probably you may be concealed in the day of God's anger, yada, yada, yada. And that's from the scriptures. And I can't quote you the one anymore. And I'm so happy about that. But the point is that you're being put down. So when you think, well, I'm not perfect, does it are the secondary gains that it just fuels your lack of self-acceptance. Well, I knew I wasn't that good, and there's your proof, because nobody's perfect. Then there's another aspect, a huge aspect, Vicki, on responsibility.
Big one. But if I could just back up.
Sure.
What you're saying is classic passive-aggressive behavior. Secondary gains. Passive-aggressive behavior equals a secondary gain. You think about that. There's a lot of passive-aggressive behaviors in people, and it's because they're not taking a direct line in being who they are, speaking their truth, and following through. There's a maneuvering, a manipulation, because they have something else that they want to benefit from. So, you know, and that is just a natural thing to go into self-responsibility. You know, striving for perfection is often striving for that ideal outside of ourselves. So we've established that. But if I accept complete self-responsibility, like total self-responsibility, I am going to accept responsibility for my part in everything that has happened to this moment that I created it. And that's actual freedom. Mm-hmm. And it just kind of lets go of all the other game playing, all the other maneuvering, the strategizing. You just kind of get real. It's you get to your truth. And it's, I'm accepting responsibility for all my thoughts, my behaviors, my decisions, my actions. And, okay, what do I want? And I take a straight line. So you get responsibility. The funny thing, it happens, you suddenly start respecting yourself a little more. Once you respect yourself a little more, you can respect other people a little more. You know, then we start getting along better, certainly differently. I then come up against a problem where dealing with passive-aggressive behavior is very difficult for me, because I'm seeing the secondary gain, not just the gain of what I'm trying to deal with. So this is often tough for people. You know, it's when we're trying to find our own truth and live in that wholesomeness of who we are, that self-centeredness, self-acceptance, then it's tough then to start working with other people who don't think the same way or have a different kind of mindset. But this is part of the perfection. It gives us another skill. It gives us another insight, teaches us something else about ourselves, which that in and of itself is another perfection, or an aspect of perfection. Certainly in my view it is.
So, just to reiterate that very important point, is when we say nobody's perfect, that is equivalent to shirking personal responsibility.
Absolutely.
Because, well, if I'm not perfect, then I don't have to do things perfectly. And I don't have to live up to anybody's expectations, including my own, because, you know, after all, nobody's perfect. And so we don't want to shirk that responsibility. You are responsible for where you are today. Go look in the mirror. The person you're looking at is responsible for your past, your present, and your future. The choices you've made, the choices I've made, have brought us to where we are. You want a different path? No problem. Make a different choice. Don't want to make a choice? Well, that's kind of a choice by default. But if you don't want to live by your own choices, you'll live by the choices other people make for you. Do you want that? I doubt you do. So,
you know, Doug, I was going to say that very often people live in hindsight, and there's a guilt attached to, why didn't I know that better? Why didn't I see that better? You know, if I'm perfect in this moment, then how come I was so dumb yesterday? You know,
well,
why didn't I see
one.
It? So it goes back to everything that we've been talking about, that it's about being conscious in this moment and completely responsible for it.
Well, here's how you address that, too. You're right, absolutely. We look back and say, oh, my Lord, how did I do that? Why didn't I do differently? The answer is, you made exactly the decision you should have made at that moment, given the knowledge, experience, et cetera, that you had at that moment. So often we kick ourselves because we didn't make yesterday's decisions with today's knowledge and experience. How can you do anything different? You made exactly the decision you needed to make at that time based on your knowledge, experience, and so forth. So,
I think that's really important. That's a really important aspect to consider here for
mm-hmm.
people.
So don't kick yourself for not making yesterday's decision with today's knowledge. It's just not the way it works. You got to get that experience. That's why you can't go to college and major in experience 101 or 201 or 301 or any of it. You got to live it. You got to get it. And you got to pay for it. And experience is expensive in one way or another. It's always expensive. So you have to learn those lessons. Now, a lot of times, people don't learn those lessons. And it's interesting how the universe will continue to present you with opportunities to learn the lessons you need to learn. And I'm not just talking about you, bear in mind. This is true for all of us. But the universe will continue to present you with opportunities to learn those lessons. And until you learn those lessons, those opportunities won't stop. So if you find yourself in a situation or set of circumstances that you don't like, learn the spiritual lesson contained in those circumstances. And when I say learn, that doesn't mean just become mentally aware of it, because so often we are mentally aware of the lesson, but we don't learn it. A magical thing happens when we learn something. We change. So you learn the spiritual lessons, you change your path, you change the way you go about things, you change your thinking, you let go of the denial, and you move forward, making on a different direction, new decisions, new choices. That's the way it's done.
You know, a story comes to mind, Doug, something that happened not too long ago. Somebody said that they felt really sorry for this old guy in a nursing home. You know, he had no family. He has, no people coming to visit him. He's so miserable, you know, and people feeling like they should do something for him. He needs visitors. And I said, why? He's living the result of what he invested into his life. And, I mean, sure, has he changed? Well, if he had changed, then he would be investing to other people to have a social network. Mm-hmm. So it takes us into another point of feeling sorry for people when they aren't, you know, which is a distinction between having compassion and coexisting, to giving pity. And pity doesn't get anybody anywhere. So, but it all ties into that notion of perfection, of the perfection we think somebody else ought to have, which goes to, you know, that's passing judgment, for one thing. But we do tend to feel badly for other people when we ought not to, which doesn't mean we should not have a sensitivity. We're all human beings. We all go through different times. We're all working and growing. We're changing. And it's that compassion for ourselves and each other. So we can take this to a whole big global level about if we all recognize that we are perfectly where we are because of what's been invested into the creation of this planet, we now have the capacity to recreate that. That in and of itself is a perfection, but not to feel sorry for one another. We're all living the result of our own incarnation, and we can all recreate it. So, you know, I wanted to bring that up because I think that it's really important how we extend to other people our own emotion of what we think is correct or good or right is project. Imposed. And we do, we project it, and we impose that on other people when sometimes we need a little objectivity. You know, that old guy in that nursing home, he's still miserable. Why would I want to go and bother with him? You know?
Yeah. All right, so good points. And another thing to remember is that, look, we are where we are. That doesn't mean that we, and what she's trying to say is not that we shouldn't have compassion. We should. But we should also understand that we are all where we are because of the choices we've made in life. And even if those choices were made with good intent, and they were still the wrong choice, you still get what you put into it, you know? It's the law of give and take, cause and action.
Effect, yeah.
Yeah, effect, cause and effect, and, you know, action, reaction. There's a trade-off. When we make a choice, we set things into motion. Even if the intention was good, it's still due to free will and due to a lot of other things, it can end up not so good. So you learn from those and move forward.
One of the things that also just right now comes to mind for everybody who's thinking about recreating their life. You know, a great old teacher of mine said that we all get to the intersection and we all want a green light. Sometimes we have to push, like, whoa, put on the brake, push the pause button. You know, who's going to go first? Sometimes we have to be cordial, respectful, let the other guy go first. Hopefully there's a system that the guy to the right gets to go first, and then you get to go, and then the other guy. But, you know, we all want to go forward. Now, if we all hit the intersection at the same time, we're going to collide. So we have to have this mutual respect and know that there is this free flowing of energy, that we can find our way in the universe. There is this a little ride in there. Now, we all have different experiences. What, you know, some would call it karma, you know, your own essence of design, so to speak. And, you know, sometimes it's not so pleasant because we're interacting with other people. Well, that's when we look for support. We ask for support. We connect with people. You know, I'm very grateful for my friendship with Doug and Tracy, my association with IMHS, MCHS, because it's opened a whole new network of energy and people and, you know, this these other connectedness, and that's perfection. So if you're finding that things aren't working, sometimes you need to change direction. So maybe you don't need to be at that particular intersection. Maybe you could... Mm-hmm. Like, back up and take an alley and go to the next one.
Good analogy.
You know, so.
Yeah, so we've been talking about perfection. So how do you define a perfect person? Easy. You know, somebody who strives to be better tomorrow than they were yesterday. Somebody who strives to do right, to do no harm. Somebody who tries to learn and grow through life. You know, somebody who learns from their mistakes. A perfect work in progress. It's important to remember to not equate a healthy view of perfection with mistakes. You know, in other words, if you're perfect, you don't make mistakes. That's baloney. That's just hogwash. It's fantasy. It was spoon-fed to us, force-fed to us. It's not real. It's not an accurate view of perfection. That typical view of perfection, again, is a fantasy. It cannot exist. Not logically, not reasonably. Even Jesus, if he ever existed, you know, did, as a human, did not do things perfectly the first time. In fact, even the Bible said he learned obedience by the things he suffered. So, you know, even with perfect people, if you're a religious person, you know, and that's who I'm speaking to here, even the Bible, even Jesus said, you must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. And if, and you know, assuming that Jesus would not tell his followers to do something they were incapable of doing. So we have to look at it in the proper way.
So then, I shouldn't aspire to the light of Christ?
That's right. You should aspire to the light of Vicky.
So
when you're thinking of perfection, don't confuse it. Get the point I'm trying to make. This is a big point. I mean, it's taught in course 2 in the IMHS curriculum. And I've lost students over this point. They could not wrap their brains around it. Denial runs deep. They could not get it. They didn't bother to get it. They didn't care to even try to understand what I was saying. All they knew is they weren't perfect. Nobody's perfect, and that's that. Period. Done. And they were gone. And, you know, that's great. It's not their time. You know, this is not theirs. For those listening, think about it. Listen to this again. Listen to the program again. And really try to zero in on that. To help you, we're going to do a 5-minute meditation here to kind of get things going, and then we'll wrap the show up here. We'll get some nice music going.
I love
Ocean
that music.
Waves.
I love that music. You know, if we can just, you know, sit back and just accept the notion that everything in life is perfection in a wheel. It's a motion, energy changing in motion. Then we can kind of accept our part in that. But it also means being awake to self and self-responsibility.
So just for a moment now, just pick a place right across the room from you and just focus on it and take a deep breath in through your nose. Hold on to it for a moment and just release it slowly through your mouth and just allow your body to settle. Any of the worries, the stresses, the anxieties of the day, just let them slip away. focus on that spot across the room. Take another deep breath. And as you exhale slowly through your mouth, allow your eyes to softly close and just settle. Just think, you know, the next few minutes, your time. Nobody wants anything. No demands. This is your time. You buy it out. Another deep breath. And as you begin to breathe, you notice the rhythm of your breathing. Just breathing. Sometimes it feels so good to just close your eyes for a moment. Let the room settle. And just focus on the rhythm of your breathing. Focusing on the waves, the music, my voice. Doing fine. Just breathe. Just allow yourself to float away just a little bit for just a moment or two. We are all here in this life to learn. We all have our gifts. We all have things to improve on. And that's exactly as it should be. Life can either be beautiful or it can be ugly. All depends on one's attitude. And right here in this moment, for a change, we see life. We see the miracle of life. And we regard it as beautiful. Even those struggles, those anxieties, those adversities are there so that we might learn, that we might grow and leave them far behind. One of the things that sets human beings apart from all other animals is the incredible ability to overcome all obstacles. It's a beautiful quality, and it's why we're here today. There's an incredible amount of power within you. The indomitable power of the human spirit. Nothing can defeat it. And I want you to look inside you, and I want you, in your mind's eye, visualize that light above you, that soul light. Bring it down within you. It is the power of you, your higher self. It invigorates you. It heals you. It encourages you. It regenerates you. And it's always there. Anytime you want, you draw it in. You see it as energy, pure, pure unadulterated energy. You breathe it in. Do that now. Breathe it in and just feel it revitalize your entire body. Feels so good. You understand that you are perfect just the way you are. You are entitled to all the good things in life, no more, no less. Same as anyone else. You are perfectly you. No one anywhere in this universe, in any universe, is quite like you. Only you. You are perfectly yourself. You strive to be better tomorrow than you were yesterday. You are a perfect work in progress. And if you make a mistake, why, that's perfectly fine. You learn from that mistake. You make the necessary changes. You make amends if necessary. And you move forward guilt-free. Because mistakes are who we are. It's how we grow and learn. We embrace that aspect of our humanity. Take another deep breath of this wonderful energy that is you. Breathe it in and feel it. And be proud of who you are. In your mind's eye, you see yourself. You see yourself standing tall, erect, proud, strong, healthy, full of confidence, full of healthy self-esteem and self-acceptance, complete within yourself and perfect. Now, as the music begins to fade, you feel yourself coming back, your eyes beginning to open, taking another breath and just feeling so good, so wholesome. You are perfect the way you are. You're getting better and better every day. Perfect work in progress. Welcome back.
Very nice, Doug.
Thank you. We have just 4 or so minutes left. You know, in all sincerity, if you still don't think you're perfect, listen to this program again and really think about it. Ponder it. Let go of the stuff that just puts you down. Let go of any beliefs, self-beliefs, or beliefs that you think others have that just denigrate you, that put you down. Accept who you are unconditionally. And if you've got things to improve on, that's fine. Just improve on them. Start that process. Sometimes it can take a while. That's okay. Just be proud of yourself for a change. Stand with your head high. You know, life's way too short, and it's way too long to think bad of yourself, to think poorly of yourself. You'll never rise above the level of your self-esteem. So make sure that level is way high. Make sure it's way high, and then you'll rise to wherever you want, because you got everything within you to accomplish anything you want in life. It's a beautiful thing.
Very well said, Doug. You know, we have, if I can inject this, we have a few announcements anyway. First of all, Dan is doing a fabulous job with our social networking.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to throw that in there. We have a newsletter, Lori, who is helping us with the newsletter. It's coming out in August, so that's another one.
And it probably August, but it could be September, but I haven't talked to Lori yet.
Okay.
So, well, because we're kind of developing this thing, and it might take a little longer than I thought, but hopefully August.
Well, I promised Lori my little write-up by August. So Metaphysical Parenting is up and running for anybody who's interested.
That's a course, by the way, folks.
Yep, absolutely. And please do check out mchschurch.org. Reread our 9 Principles of Belief. They resonate right at the soul level. And check out IMHS also if you're interested in any number of courses. They're all listed.
And we're actually in the process of putting together our first annual metaphysical conference and graduation.
Yay.
For May of 2014.
Very
I have
exciting.
Not announced it any. I've not announced the dates or the venue or anything so far. I'm working on putting those together, and this is particularly meaningful to IMHS students, especially in their families. The figures are coming. It's going to be held in Sarasota. We've already booked the hotel. And the details will be forthcoming just in the next day or two or three. It'll be an announcement going out to the student body. It'll be a wonderful time to meet with like-minded people, students. I'd be great to get to meet you, and I'm sure you think about same about Dr. Vicky, and whether I'm there, so what, right? I'm just kidding.
Well, you know, I had to tell Doug one day I'm only 5'3", and he goes, "Oh, you're little." We talk to each other on Skype all the time, but it's so deceiving. We don't know. It's like, oh, Doug's way over 6 feet. And I said, whoa, this will be interesting. So it's going to be so good to meet people. I'm so excited.
Yeah, it would be good to meet you, Vicky, actually, in the flesh.
Yeah, I know.
But we'll get more details. It's going to be a wonderful time, and it's going to be affordable, and as conferences go. And so we'll get those details out. I'm excited to have that. I've been looking forward to that for 3 years, and so finally we'll get to it. Anyway, we're out of time, folks. Have a great week. See you next week. Good night.
Good night.